That's the way it goes sometimes. The twisted turmoil. That's the way it shows sometimes. Lonesome and loyal. When it comes to the surface, when sighs come to blows, well, you know what comes next. When the darkness shows, we've been blindsided slowly, fading away from me. And all you gotta show, all you gotta show is some humility. Well, pride and ego, corrosive to the touch. You know a little bit can kill you, let alone too much. We know him brick by brick, been built up over years. Gonna fall away to pieces with the one that you love in tears. You've been blindsided slowly, on falling away from me. When all you gotta show, all you gotta show, just a little humility. That's the way it goes sometimes. That's the way it goes sometimes. That's the way it goes.
It is time for Talking Music on KVNF, your Mountain Grown Community Radio. I am your host, Taya J. I'm joined today by Tennessee-based, Colorado-born and raised roots rock musician AJ Fullerton. Don't make me say it again because I don't know that I'll get through it.
How you doing, Taya?
So nice to have you here, AJ.
Pleasure's all mine.
Take me back a little bit. Where and when did you decide that music was something you wanted to do?
So I grew up down in Montrose, and I started playing when I was about 14. And I think I knew right about that time that I was going to do this for a living. I picked up guitar at 14 at my dad's request because I needed a hobby.
You didn't have any other hobbies at that time?
No. Actually, I had none at all.
You were like sitting alone in your room and your dad was like, "Ooh, this kid."
Well, you know how it can be sometimes. You're just kind of looking for something to fulfill your time. And he was a musician himself and recommended I maybe give it a shot. And I think I booked my first gig or my first open mic like a month after picking up guitar. And so I just kind of leaned into that and did that all through high school and been doing it ever since.
And I love the Montrose community. I think they are so supportive. I mean, not just of you. They are very supportive of you. But they are so supportive of young musicians, up-and-coming musicians, musicians finding their feet and finding their sound. How do you respond to that?
Well, it's been a great community. I mean, there's a lot of friends and a lot of mentors of mine that still live down there, and I still got family in the area that I come back and visit all the time. And I feel like it's a really lucky melting pot of influences that I just happened to sort of grow up in that community, and I think it's shaped in a lot of ways the artist I am today.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You're defined as a roots rock musician. What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, in 2024, genre is kind of a fluid thing. I feel like it's a construct of what used to be the way people bought and consumed music. But to me, it's a good way of just describing to folks sort of where I come from musically. You know, I love rock and roll, blues, country, Americana, really a wide plethora of American art and music styles, and I think that roots rock seems to be the most sort of a applicable amalgamation of the influences that I grew up with.
Yeah, yeah, which was a little bit of everything, would you say?
I would say so. You know, I on a given week, like I think this last week in the car, I listened for everything from like Howlin' Wolf, Bob Marley, Jay Dilla. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that like on any given day, you know, modern songwriters like His Golden Messenger, Ray Bonneville is a songwriter I really like. I mean, there's such a plethora of things that I listen to that I think roots rock kind of just, it's an umbrella term, you mm-hmm. know?
Mm-hmm. With that in mind, what was the last thing you heard for the very first time that you were like, dang, this is good?
Oh, that's a real tough one. I mean, the first thing that immediately comes to mind, I think a friend sent this over to me, but one of the really, really early Bob Marley records when he was still kind of doing the like the 1960s, kind of like pre-reggae. And again, I'm totally speaking without great knowledge of the genre, but some of the really early like 60s Bob Marley stuff where it's almost more like a jump sort of feel. Mm. I've heard that recently for the first time, and I kind of filled this little hole in my musical lexicon where I was like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. How cool is that, you know?
How cool is that? And talking about like not being defined by one genre, that Bob Marley, who's so well known in the reggae world, could also have this
early stuff. Yeah.
Early stuff that's so different and nuanced and complex.
Well, I'm really interested by almost any artist that takes full liberty to change their sound every song or every album. You know, Neil Young is a great example of an artist that like from the beginning of his career to the present, you put on any given song or any album, it could be a lot of different things.
Yeah. Congratulations on your third album, your newest album. It's the third studio, correct?
That is correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's titled Closer. What can you tell us about Closer?
Well, it's been an interesting project. I started it quite a while ago. I was working with this guy, Eddie Roberts, who you might know from, he's got a band called The Lucky Strokes, as well as his more well-known project, The New Master Sounds. And Eddie and I got talking about working a project together through the Denver-based label Color Red, and it kind of just came into fruition. I was writing a lot at the time, and we sort of just started piecing it together. We'd go in, I think we did two sessions, and a lot of these songs were written like the day of or the day before the session. So I took my touring band in, the crew that you'll probably see at any of the given shows coming up in the near future, and we cut it. A lot of it was live to tape on old school 70s analog magnetic tape. And
why that way? Why that method?
Well, there's a certain quality that comes with analog recording. You know, a lot of what's done today is done on DAWs, digital audio workstations, which basically just means it's all in a computer. And there's a lot of pros to that. But if you go back to, you know, really how all music was made and recorded pre 1980 or in the 70s, 60s, 50s, a lot of that stuff was done to magnetic tape. And when you do that, it's almost like doing a sketch in pen where you kind of just get the reality of what happened. And you can edit it a little bit and you can finesse it, but really, by and large, you know, you kind of got to live with what you get, mistakes and all.
I love that, mistakes and all. I think the more artists I talk to, it seems like we are leaning towards this embracing less perfection and just acknowledging that we're all human and we error, and there's something really beautiful about those errors as an artist, but also as a listener. It's really cool to hear the human side of somebody's process. It's really cool to feel like you're involved in the process rather than the perfectly polished end product.
Oh, yeah, and I'll tell you, you know, I've done a lot of records of my own and studio work for other people. And there's always going to be mistakes. I think when you do something to tape or something that's really permanent, you kind of learn to love them, even though you, like, I can think of probably five or six on this record that were either things I didn't intend to do or things that I wouldn't do again. But I think that's what makes the charm of the album.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to me like that's a really important thing for listeners to know, that this was the process of how you decided to record this album, so that they have an understanding of the sort of full, well-rounded sound and the opportunity for imperfection.
Absolutely. And you know, there's tracks already, some of the singles that have come out, where I listen back to it and there's, you know, a spot on the record I'm like, all right, here it comes, and in my mind I'm like, that was a thing I wish I hadn't done. But I have to remind myself, most people don't care Or if anything, they relate to that. Because a lot of the records people grew up on, Stones, Beatles, Zeppelin, all have mistakes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we know that. What else should we know about Closer? Where does the title stem from?
You know, I struggled for a while to find a title for this record. You know, whenever you put a label on a body of work, I think it changes the way that you interact with it. And I kind of just sat down and really assessed the meaning and the place I was at in life when I wrote a lot of these. And I kept kind of finding these little nuggets that all hinted at sort of a pursuit of something. And I started thinking about things that get, you know, fractionally smaller but never quite reaching zero or whatever the analogy may be. And I kind of thought that was an interesting perspective to title the album under, which was, you know what, we're always kind of searching for something in life. And I mean, I want to steer clear of that, you know, it's not the destination, it's the journey, but kind of, you know, it's like, it's more about sometimes the pursuit of something.
With that in mind, will you play another tune for us?
Absolutely.
Precious time or wasted moments, wishing I could hide away or just wishing I could own it. Roll back the years or roll back the clock, always searching for a better place for the hour and the stop. But soon enough, I'll find it. Soon enough now, baby, you see. Soon enough, I'm gonna make it. And it's just another apple falling closer to the tree. Rookie of the year, he still can't get it right. Step into the ring, just waiting for the fight. Oh, looking for a lucky charm, superstition in the air. Employee of the month, but no one's ever gonna care. Well, soon enough, I'll find it. Soon enough now, baby, you see. Soon enough, I'm gonna make it, darling. And it's just another apple falling closer to the tree. Could hide away, yeah, I just wishing I could own it. And I still haven't found my way, no answers to behold. Same face in the mirror while new stories unfold. But soon enough, I find it. Yeah, soon enough now, baby, you'll see. Oh, soon enough, I'll make it, darling. And it's just another apple falling closer to the tree. Oh, falling closer to the tree.
Stories off AJ Fullerton's brand new album Closer. AJ joining me live in the studio today. The sound of that guitar, man. Tell me a little bit about what you're playing.
Oh, thank you. I wish I could just show it to the folks of the radio. So
you got to find your best adjectives.
So this is a sort of parts guitar built by my friend Matt McGibney over in Denver. He does a lot of tech work for Nathaniel Rateliff and the Drive-By Truckers and a whole bunch of other people. Matt is wonderful. And this is a baritone rubber saddle flat wound guitar. It's sort of based loosely off of a Dan Electro Longhorn body from the 1960s. And he whipped this thing up for me, and I've been just in love with it lately.
What do you love about it?
Well, it's kind of got this plucky sort of almost cello-like tone, which I feel like as a guitar player, I get a little tired of how guitars sound.
Are you allowed to admit that?
I don't know. I might have just lost my membership to the Guitar Player Club. But I love finding instruments, especially guitar-type instruments, that don't really sound like your average acoustic guitar, electric guitar. And this thing has kind of just found a spot in my heart lately.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, thank you for bringing it today.
Of course. It's so fun to
get to witness it.
I've actually never done a gig or a spot with this, so this is a first time for everyone.
There's a first for everything. We're happy to be it. AJ, you've been making music for over a decade now, professionally, yeah?
Yeah, it's I think 2013, roughly, 2014 was about the 10-year mark, and it's kind of surreal.
Amazing, amazing. So how are you feeling about music? Do you feel like you're in a really different place than you were 10 years ago?
Absolutely. I think about that a lot, actually, because at first I just got into it sort of as a hobbyist guitar player, and then later on I started playing shows and playing gigs. And then more and more recently, I've been getting kind of back to the root of why I got into guitar, which was the music, you know? I think there's a lot of guitar players out there that maybe don't identify as musicians. They are just a guitar player, which I feel like can be different things, you know? And I was really just a lover of music before I even picked up guitar. I collected CDs and cassette tapes, and more and more recently, I've been doing session work and production. So basically helping other people make records and being a part of the process. And that to me has been really fulfilling.
Well, are you lonely? I've been feeling lonely too. Are you angry? Something someone did to you. Oh, tell me, are you sick and tired? Sick and tired of being you. Do you feel empty? I've been feeling empty too. Oh, oh, frustration. My own mind's been killing me. Oh, frustration. My own mind, my own mind. Are you tired? You've been laying there on the floor. Are you kneeling? Looking back to the ways before. Oh, are you feeling? Are you feeling too weak to fight? Is it over?
Frustration.
frustration. My old mind's been killing me. Oh, frustration.
I know that you're doing a bit of an album release tour, from my understanding. April 17th will find you at the Paradise Theater in Paonia, April 18th at the Mesa Theater in Grand Junction, April 19th at Blue Corn Cafe, and that is your official album release party.
Correct.
So tickets and information at bluecorncafemontrose.com if you want to know more about that. What's exciting about an album release party?
The snarky part of me wants to say just being done with it.
Woohoo! We can celebrate that.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much, you know, between the writing of the music, the recording, the mixing, you know, EQing, the mastering, the production. There's so many little parts of it that by the time you get the record out, most artists I know are kind of over it. But for me, honestly, getting a chance to come play here on the West Slope, do the hometown, home region circuit, and then play a couple shows in the Front Range with the band that tracked the record, to me, that is, it's hard to beat.
Mm-hmm. Does it feel different today? You're playing solo, and we're going to feature some tracks off the record with the full band. But does it feel different to play solo than it does to play with the band? Like, that must be a really starkly different experience.
It's really, really different. And what's funny is I grew up primarily as a solo player, and then I got more into collaborative full band stuff in the last part of this decade. And I think when you learn how to play well with others, it changes the way you play when it's just you. Partially because there's nowhere to hide. Everything you're doing as a solo player is right there, front and center. But, you know, I love playing solo. I also really love playing with the guys. I mean, I've been really lucky that the crew of folks I've been playing with on this record and over the last few years have just not, you know, necessarily just been session players or hired guns, but they're some of my best friends, and I think that comes across in the music.
Yeah, and that seems like that matters to you.
I think so. You know, I mean, It comes down to, like, all the people you surround yourself in life is an important thing, but especially when you're creating this moment, you know, for people. I think that it comes through in the music.
Yeah. How do you feel like this album or this record relates to your past too? Do you feel like they're in conversation with each other?
They're very different. The last two records, Calamath and then The Forgiver and The Runaway, We're both kind of doing different things. The first one was me just trying to make a record and seeing if I could and what that would sound like. And then the second one was sort of that's a whole other story. It was almost a pilgrimage. I actually went and tracked that one in Canada with some artists I really admire and some session players up there. And, you know, sonically, musically, they're all extremely different. I mean, apples and oranges might be even a poor comparison, kind of like apples and celery, you know? But, you know, this one, like I said, for me is really special because of the people that are on it and some of the songs that are on it that were very, you know, special to me when I wrote them, and then a couple of which have kind of surpassed my expectations. You know, one of the singles, I think, is well over 600,000 plays, which to me is, like, mind-boggling, you know?
That, to me, sounds like reason to celebrate. The idea of collaboration, the idea of your sound evolving, that, like, yeah, evolution of sound, that feels like cause for celebration.
I think the one thing that I want to avoid in my artistic career is making the same record twice.
Mm-hmm. How do you know that you're not going to do that?
Well, you know, I think a lot of times artists make the same record twice if they find one that did well commercially and they try to repeat that. And since, to my knowledge, none of them have done extremely well commercially, I think I'm safe.
So as soon as you start blowing up on the billboards, that's when we're in trouble.
Then I got to worry about it.
Then you got to start worrying. It is such a pleasure to have you here in the studio. Anything else you want to say to our listeners? I know that you're Colorado born and raised, you're Montrose born and raised. You are our musician in many ways, or one of our musicians, and I don't know. I don't want to speak for everyone, but I think what I see when I go to your shows is a community that's super proud of you and super supportive of you and really, you know, has just loved being brought along the journey with you.
Well, I guess the only thing to say is thank you to everyone that supported me over the last decade, and I really hope to see y'all at these album release shows. You know, I specifically made a point to put a couple dates on the West Slope just because I love coming out here. I love seeing the folks in the home region, and I hope you guys enjoy the new record.
I want to remind our listeners that AJ Fullerton will be celebrating the release of his new album, Closer, with a Western Slope album release tour. AJ will be performing at the Paradise Theater in Paonia on Wednesday, April 17th at 7 p.m. Tickets and information about that show can be found at paradiseofpaonia.com. For our Grand Valley listeners, AJ will be performing at the Mesa Theater on Thursday, April 18th at 8 p.m. And for our Montrose listeners, AJ will be holding his official album release party at Blue Corn Cafe and Mercantile on Friday, April 19th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets and information can be found at bluecorncafemontrose.com. AJ's album Closer will be out on April 19th. To find out more about that album, you can visit AJ's website, ajfullerton.com. To hear more Talkin' Music interviews, tune in every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. and every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. To catch up on shows you may have missed, you can visit our website, kvnf.org. You can also listen to past shows of Talkin' Music on the KVNF app, available for download in your app store. Thanks, as always, for listening.
You got nowhere to run. And every day is a loaded gun. Hard times here in the land of plenty. I said, hey, brother, can you loan me a 20? On the morning train, left me standing here holding the blame. Well, ain't it a shame, baby, ain't it a pity? There ain't no love in the heart of the city. Sun. But the girl got greedy, love lost on lust. Well, that don't matter, no, it never does. You just wanna be happy, now is that too much? Can you loan me a 20?